Today's scripture message is about the importance of teaching our children about the wonders God has done and the hope that God brings to our lives. Lessons of wonder and hope is what brought my family to Greenwood Forest, and I thank God for leading us here and for the blessing to worship here with you this morning. As I reflect upon the history and identity of Greenwood Forest and what we must thank God for, let me start with how things were when we came here about 44 years ago. Linda had been taking our two young boys to visit churches around Cary and had visited Greenwood Forest a couple of times without me. I hadn't agreed to visit around, and I had been staying at home. One Sunday after visiting Greenwood Forest, Linda asked me to come with them the next Sunday, and I realized that for the sake of our family, I needed to go with them. She told me how welcoming everyone was and that she thought I would like the preacher and that the choir was very good. So we visited and we were greeted at the sanctuary doors and warmly welcomed by everyone. And Linda was correct. I did enjoy the preacher's sermon and the choir was very good. And apparently, we filled out a visitor's card. Because a couple of days later, while I was at home alone, the preacher called himself and said he happened to be in the neighborhood and asked if he could drop by to introduce himself. He promised not to stay very long, and I surprised myself by saying, "Sure, come on over." And then the doorbell rang. Maybe not that fast. The preacher was Luther Brewer, and I liked him from the start. He talked about Greenwood Forest and the people and the opportunities for families like mine. Everything he talked about sounded interesting, and I realized that I wanted to visit again and see where we might fit in this church. We visited the next Sunday, and after that we began to attend on a regular basis. We got involved in the life of the church. We joined a Sunday school class. We served in the nursery and on some committees. We met and worshiped with new friends and families right here. Over time, Linda and I knew that our family had found our church home, so we joined Greenwood Forest in 1979. Our sons, Scott and Michael, were mentored in faith and spirit and were baptized right here, like many of their friends in the youth ministry. Knowing today that many of those young people have become Christian leaders in their own churches is a blessing and reflects strongly upon our heritage and the scripture message today. The sanctuary was new when we joined, and we were still using Building A for Sunday school classes and various fellowship gatherings. Now, when we talk about Building A now, we mostly speak in negative terms for some good reasons. But my memories in Building A include blessings and reminders of my faith journey that truly started right here at Greenwood Forest. I taught my first Sunday school class for the high school age members of the youth ministry at the end of the hall down there where the kitchen area was. Some of you here today had kids in that class, and some have returned over the years to visit with us. I feel especially blessed these days when I often see the children of one member of that class right here in worship with their grandparents. We are fulfilling the scripture message by teaching the very children of former children of our present church members. Amen. Another blessing was the Sunday school class we joined that was led by Gloria Armour. Gloria was such a strong spiritual leader and an engaging teacher. When she was diagnosed with cancer, our class rallied around her in support and prayers for her recovery. And when she died, we were saddened. So in memory of her, our class purchased a magnificent Bible that we dedicated to the church in honor of her spirit and grace. The Bible we dedicated to honor Gloria is our sanctuary Bible. inscribed inside are these words: "Your faith and grace assures us that it is not to darkness we go, for God is light. It is not lonely, for Christ is with us. It is not an unknown place, for Christ shows us the way." Every time I come to worship here and see our beautiful Sanctuary Bible, I'm reminded of the blessings of Gloria's leadership, her spirit, and her grace. Another thing our Sunday school class did was to take turns with other Sunday school classes going to Chatham Creek Nursing Home and leading a time of Sunday worship for the people there. One person would bring the message and lead the prayers. One would lead singing while another played what I recall was probably a very out-of-tune piano. But that didn't matter because we all sang with such joy and spirit. The residents loved the old-time hymns, and the first time I volunteered to lead the singing, I was reminded that there was always a request for "I'll Fly Away." With everyone singing as loud as they could and voices with different pitches but beautifully blended with, by spirits of joy. After that first time when I led the singing, I received a call from Clark Sorrells, who directed the music ministry. And he said to me, "Someone told me you could sing a little bit." And he invited me to sit in with the choir at the next rehearsal. So I did. And I have been sitting in with our marvelously talented choir since then, still singing, still learning, still being challenged and inspired. Well, you know, we have so much to be thankful for. We're certainly blessed to have these beautiful church grounds that were given to us with the responsibility to be good stewards of the land and all that the land sustained, including this sanctuary, the children's center, the new classrooms that were built, the new offices that were built, and the fellowship hall. All of our buildings, including Building A, were not the only progressive visions becoming realities here at Greenwood Forest. Our leaders and our ministers also planted seeds of inclusion that continue to bear fruit, including calling women to serve in leadership positions such as deacons, officers, and directors, when most churches would not. And we recently fully embraced that commitment when we celebrated the 7-year anniversary of the calling of our pastor, Reverend Lauren Neifert. We're so blessed by so much here. Look around you. Look at this sanctuary and consider the plans and the prayers that went into this becoming a reality. The flooring had to be selected and designed. The wooden beams, look at the majestic wooden beams that we have, crafted with the strength of an ark, a strong and well-built vessel providing a secure and safe place to journey. The doors of our sanctuary have always been open to families like yours and mine, and for people such as our brother Gio Bikindu, who shall always worship with us and journey with us in spirit. We all came looking for a church home and a spiritual connection to serve and follow the teachings of Christ and to answer God's call to become servant leaders ourselves. As we look back over the past 60 years, our journey together is one of stewardship and service guided by bold leaders and ministers. We are blessed to be an inclusive church by ministers and leaders committed to equality, acceptance, and recognition that all people reflect the spirit and love of God. We are a church with steadfast hearts and with leaders and visionaries who are active participants and supporters in the missions of our church. We are a church developing bold stewardship plans on these grounds to provide affordable housing for neighbors and citizens. We are a church who loves, welcomes, and worships with our LGBTQ friends. We are a church defending human rights and preaching from the pulpit for these rights for all people. We are a church that has planted our identity on these grounds with rainbow flags and signs declaring that here on these grounds, every life is sacred. Every life must be protected and defended. My favorite photographs depicting our commitment to inclusion includes the one where the church members of all ages of our congregation stand along Kildare Farm Road holding signs declaring Black Lives Matter. and the one where some of our youth are touching a wall imprinted with the words, "Until justice rolls down and righteousness transforms us." And how powerful is the photo of Pastor Lauren Efa leading us in prayer during our vigil for Brother Jill McKendo. We all can find our spirit within these glimpses of our unity and faith. Each one of us and those who came before us stand in the unity of our faith and calling to live in the light of God's mercy and love. We all have been graced within with God's light. It shines in our diversity. It shines in our humanity. It shines in our unity. We are the stewards of many opportunities and visions for a journey enlightened by grace, with blessings of opportunity and the spirit to pray out, to lead and step out, to serve, welcome, reach out. And these glorious pipes, again, will soon ring out, blessing us all in praises we will sing out. I need to calm down. I'll close by saying, may God continue to bless us as we journey together in this very sacred place. Amen.
Good morning. I was feeling pretty good about this when I was asked to do a reflection until I found out earlier this week that I was going to be following Rick Chapel. Thanks, Amanda. Appreciate that. No, but seriously, Rick gave a really good nostalgic view of this church's past, and for some reason, while I was reflecting upon what I was going to say in my reflection, pretty nostalgic time, the 1980s, came to my mind. I'm a child of the 80s. I was actually born in 1980, so I have a ton of 80s street cred. And now you know how old I am. Now, at least from my perspective, the 80s in America were some complicated years. There were some amazing things that happened. It was a decade that catalyzed the growth of personal computing and the digital revolution. NASA's shuttle program launched the world into a new era of space exploration. The Berlin Wall fell. The original Star Wars trilogy was completed. Sorry, Star Trek fans, this is clearly a Star Wars church. There are also some pretty bad things that happened. 80s fashion, for one. But more seriously, it also saw the rise of the AIDS epidemic, high inflation, and the dawn of Gordon Gekko's style capitalistic greed. And although we were in the aftermath of the greatest civil rights revolution our young country had ever seen, ending state-sponsored segregation and ushering in laws protecting racial equality, racial injustice continued to live on through more insidious forms of discrimination. Pop culture exploded onto the scene, providing colorful distractions from some of the darker realities of day-to-day life, numbing the masses to social injustices that would only continue to grow. I've always thought of the 80s as one big identity crisis of sorts, our country's way of sorting out what it wanted to be when it grew up in the midst of seismic social change. I suppose the 80s came to mind for me because I too have been undergoing significant personal change. As some of you may know, I recently changed jobs after a 17-year stint as a Social Security disability attorney in a medium-sized law firm. I ran a high-volume practice with the help of some very dedicated and talented case managers. Over the course of that time, I had the opportunity to help thousands of individuals obtain their much-needed disability benefits, benefits they sought due to an inability to work through no fault of their own, and denied by a very tangled bureaucratic system essentially designed to deny well over 60% of initial claims. And I was able to earn a good living. However, having to handle such a large volume of cases while minimizing overhead, I felt as though many times I was not able to treat every case as an individual person and truly connect with my clients. The focus was significantly more on the business of law rather than the practice of law. I struggled with this tension for years. Finally, due to the stress of this tension, along with other profound forces of change in my personal life, and some very clear signs that God placed in my path, I made a change. I took a very large leap from what was a comfortable, predictable job into a much smaller firm in a new area of practice, an area to which I felt called in an environment where I felt I would be able to practice law and interact with clients in a deeper and more meaningful way. And I'm sharing all this with you to tell you that a major source of the strength that I mustered to make such a monumental and frankly scary change was this church. The example that GFBC has set over the course of the past decade has truly been an inspiration for me. Because this church also came to a crossroads and an identity crisis of its own, and through faithful leadership and congregational discernment, we determined that God had called our church to stand for social justice within our walls, in our community, and in the world. We made the very intentional decision to take a public stance on an unqualified policy of LGBTQ inclusivity and to hold our church out as a safe place, a true sanctuary for people of all ages, races, genders, ethnicities, sexualities, disabilities, and backgrounds. While we understood that taking such a stance would not likely sit well with some of our membership at that time and would likely have a financial impact on our church, we stayed true to God's calling on our hearts. While we lost members in the wake of this change and our congregation looks different now, it's all the more beautiful. We have gained many new members who have finally found the safe and loving place they were searching for, whose spiritual journeys have been renewed by GFBC's commitment to equality and social justice. By following God's calling, we are experiencing a renewal of our church's spirit as we continue with our work that has and will continue to have lasting impacts on the lives of those within our community. Our church lives out our calling in many different ways. Through our dedication to making affordable housing in our community a reality for our working class brothers and sisters, here on our own church campus, and throughout Wake County, through our members' active involvement in and support of One Wake's advocacy at the local and state levels. Through our dedication to providing safe meeting spaces in our fellowship hall and faith formation classrooms for groups advocating for and actively assisting marginalized and struggling members of our community. Through our dedication to good neighbors, to being good neighbors to those in our community. Through our continued work with Backpack Buddies. Through our dedication to helping provide affordable pre-K education through the Greenwood Forest Children's Center. And through our dedication to providing a space for a sacred and meaningful worship experience. For me, this is the legacy that Greenwood Forest will carry into the future, not just for future generations of GFBC members, but for the greater Cary community and the world. A legacy that inspires and challenges you to love holy, to seek justice, to preserve the beauty of God's creation, and to have faith that God will sustain us through it all. Because when I say love holy, that means loving your enemy too. Because that's really the only way that we ever get to true reconciliation and peace. And that's hard. And when I say seek justice, that also means questioning and holding to account your own prejudices and biases that society has programmed into you. That's hard too. And taking steps to effect change that upsets the status quo and powers that be is scary. Change is hard, but you can do hard things, especially knowing that you have a community of faith beside you and God's love surrounding you. I wish I could say that I always look toward the future through rose-colored glasses and see a world in which we humans have reconciled ourselves to one another and to the earth, that we find a way to live peacefully without fear and distrust of one another, and with more respect and reverence for God's creation, that we may find a way back to a common ground upon which we can heal our divisions that have been so deeply carved out over the course of time. I wish I could say that, but that would be disingenuous. But this place, this church, this congregation, this family, makes it that much easier for me to slip on those rosy spectacles more often, because I know the legacy we are leaving for our future generations will help us get closer to that goal, to bring about God's kingdom here on earth. I am confident that there are and will continue to be many people in this fast-growing community who are searching for an authentic place to worship, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. And I am confident they will find a home here with us. As we now stand between last week's celebration of the saints of GFBC that have gone on before us and next week's celebration of GFBC's 60th anniversary, we look back in appreciation of the foundation we have been given upon which we will continue to build, and we look forward to continuing the tradition of swinging open our doors wide enough for all to enter this space. May we stay true to the path that God has set us on, a path of, to borrow a term that I think the 80s actually perfected, radical love.